Today we have the feast of St. Bonaventure. You know about St. Bonaventure. He was one of the great men of the Franciscan order. He had an early moment in his life where he was suffering from some grave illness. Wasn't able to research what exactly the illness was, but everybody thought for sure this young child was going to die. And so they had no real hope for him to be to recover from this as a young child whose defenses were so little. Passing through the town happened to be one man who everybody saw as renowned in holiness. In fact, later on, the entirety of the world would come to recognize him as, to see him as a Christus redivivus, or a Christ revivified, or living again, walking among us. And this is none other than the great St. Francis of Assisi, the Seraphic Father. He was passing through the town and came upon this child, as any mother would in such a situation, handing the child with a mortal illness over to him, and grabbing the child, the saint blessed him, and then said of him, of this child, Bonaventura, which means, in many ways, could be good luck, or things will go well for him, or he will accomplish much in his life. He will have a great adventure within his life. And so the boy recovered. This story being well known throughout his lifetime, everybody knew that this was one who was touched and blessed by that great saint and saved by him. And so something good indeed must come from him, for he was spoken of prophetically by the saint even while still in the illness. So this boy grew up with that same understanding of himself. It became a nickname for him, that instead of going by his name, which was Giovanni by birth, or John in English, he quickly was known as Bonaventura, Bonaventura, Bonaventura. And they would call him because that's what the saint said of him. And so when he came time for him to advance, he advanced in many ways, in strength and knowledge, and he became one of the great luminaries of the time, the great intellectuals of the time, studying in Paris, which is the great school, the great universities of the time. So often we hear about, within our world, about the Middle Ages. Sometimes they're called the Dark Ages, right? Nothing could be further from the truth. For it is these Middle Ages which gave the foundation for all of our learning. The greatest luminaries actually happened during that time. It was at this time where the entirety of the university system was set up. It was during this time that anybody, we talk about now where it was a great invention of modern science that we and government, that we now could have free education for anybody who wished to go to it. It's just in the public school system. Not typically the best school system, but we have at least free education that was there. Well, in those times, everybody in the entire world could go to and get a good education for free if you just go to the monastery, whether a man or a woman. The monks and the nuns, who were those who had all the books, all the repositories of knowledge, they themselves would teach anybody for free who would stick around with them. And so we had great things which were existing even during that time. And here, at the great blossoming of knowledge during the time of St. Bonaventure, there at the school of Paris, one of his classmates was St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas being the great doctor of the church. He himself being the one who did so great within his studies that everybody would comment on Peter Lombard's sentences. And that's the way you'd become a doctor, is you'd write about everything that he wrote in his theological studies, and you would comment to see if you could further what it is that he was doing, or to show that you really, really grasp and could struggle in a supreme intellectual way with what Peter Lombard did. Well, came St. Thomas Aquinas, and he did such a great job during the course of his life that he replaced Peter Lombard's sentences, and everybody from that point on began commenting on St. Thomas Aquinas' work. And so St. Bonaventure, the two of them, were studying at the school contemporaneously with one another, and were seen as the two great luminaries. St. Thomas Aquinas was a Dominican, and St. Bonaventure was a Franciscan. Franciscans were not known for their great knowledge. But because of this, because of his great studies, and because of his great gift of the love of God, the love of knowledge, one of the great messages that St. Bonaventure always carried with him was the fact that he would look in the Franciscan way at all of nature, at all of creation, and say, here is the book of knowledge. Here is the things which we should be studying about the world, to know that God is present in all of his creation, but he's also present in his learning, and see how the two of those flow together so beautifully, to look at what God has written before us, to see that there is indeed goodness within the world. It can be known, and it can be loved and spread because of that. St. Bonaventure then would go on to do many great things within the church, but unlike St. Thomas Aquinas, because of the great need within the Franciscan order, he was called to head the order, called to be the general superior of the whole of the Franciscan order. Otherwise, he would have loved to have gone on and continued teaching there in the greatest university in Paris, the university there in Paris, along with St. Thomas Aquinas, and the two of them leading one another in intellectual pursuits. But he had to go back and become the superior of his order, which was a bad thing for maybe his students in that way, but a great thing for the Franciscan order, because it was under the work of St. Bonaventure that the whole of the Franciscan order received its structure, received its movement to go forward. It was because of him that all the organization was met, that he put his intellectual skills totally at the charge of the building up of the order, such that everything could be formatted in the way to launch the whole of Franciscan order into being the premier religious order for the next 500 years. or even beyond, really, to be able to do that along with the Dominicans. It was always the Franciscans and the Dominicans from that point on, the two of them, but it was Bonaventure's organization that brought that about. He did so well during that time that he himself was able to get, and I forget the name of the particular pope, he was able to be very, very instrumental in helping him to be elected as the Holy Father to lead the church. And whether as a favor or whether as a revenge, that pope then later on named Bonaventure a cardinal. I think it was more the latter, that it was a revenge. You got me into this mess, and now you're going to have to be alongside it with me to guide me through it. And it's often how good saintly popes do operate in that way. Taking their friends who got them into it and forcing them to serve and to suffer along with them in the cardinaliate, particularly these holy ones. Saint Bonaventure was one who gave himself to the Lord in all these ways, but beyond these natural things that we see so clearly here, I want to share with you something of Saint Bonaventure's life. As soon as I find what it is that I was going to share with you. Stumbled upon it yesterday, but I can't seem to find it right now. And for some reason, I can't find it, so you don't get it, unfortunately. But it was a really good meditation on his life and the beauty of what he saw in nature and how the soul could rise to God. The last thing to share with you from Saint Bonaventure is that, remember, he's the one who had the contest with Saint Thomas Aquinas. Remember the Feast of Corpus Christi, they had seen this great miracle in Orvieto, in Bolzano. It really took place in Bolzano, but Orvieto, the greater see where the bishop was. And so the Eucharistic miracle which took place there is staining the corporal, where the blood of the host dripped down upon the altar, staining the altar cloth and the corporal, and even the stone was stained, with the blood of Christ. You can go there and visit it. I've seen it many times myself. When you go there and see that, they said, well, we need to do something about this. We need to do something about this. Here's the moment. There's a flagging belief in the real presence of the Eucharist. So now that we're coming to understand that Christ is truly, really, actually, divinely present in the Eucharist in a more profound way, we need a feast of Corpus Christi. So the Pope asked these two great theologians each to write a Mass for this particular day, so that Mass and office, so that the whole of the Church in her prayer could pray through these things well. So St. Thomas Aquinas was given the assignment as the head of the most great luminary in the Dominican order, and St. Bonaventure as that in the Franciscan order. And as they went, and each writing their same things, they were incredibly beautiful. Either through a roll of dice or through a humility way, St. Thomas Aquinas got to go first and to speak about the beauty that he saw in the Eucharist, the hymns, the prayers that he wrote. And when St. Thomas Aquinas was finished writing all the speaking about all the propers in front of the Pope there, St. Bonaventure was found to the side. He was found to the side weeping because he thought what St. Thomas Aquinas had written was incredibly beautiful and just moved the soul, and he said, that is the best. And so St. Bonaventure immediately took what he had written, crumpled it into a ball, and cast it into the open flame that was there before him. And so that's the reason why our Feast of Corpus Christi has the hymns and the beautiful Eucharistic prayers that we pray at that time, which we also use during adoration and benediction. That's why those hymns are there instead of St. Bonaventure's. Nobody knows what St. Bonaventure wrote because he threw it into the flames. There were no copies that were existent. In all likelihood, it's quite possible that he actually, that St. Bonaventure did write better things in that way, because he was more mystical in his writings and it had an even more profound gift for poetry. But in his great humility and his love for God, immediately cast them into the flame, so we can say at least it was the will of God that these would be the ones for that feast day. Though to see what Saint Bonaventure would have written for that very same feast day would be a great marvel for us during this time. So what can we see from his life? Two things in particular. One, the life of Saint Bonaventure. He did so many great things. He could have, from his very earliest age, said, "Hey, I was one who was touched by the saint. I was one who was saved. I was one who said I was going to be a great success in whatever I do in my life. So what does it matter on me to work toward anything? It was prophesied by the saints. Everybody sees me as being something great because I was held and healed in this way. Well, why work for anything? My life is probably going to be all right." But Saint Bonaventure didn't see it that way. He worked his entire life and said, because the saint had said such great things for me, now I have to work all the more to make sure that it is true, to make sure that I live it out, to give myself all the more to it. And so he labored and became the great man that he was. Also, we can see because of the end of his life, the way in which he lived out his life and did great things, that he could have so easily been engaged in an argument with St. Thomas Aquinas, who is in essence his classmate. They're always vying with one another in that way, and then caused a stir at the end of his life with showing that his writings were better. But rather, in that great Franciscan humility, we have an even more profound example of when we see something that touches and moving our hearts, rather than saying, well, I can up that one, I can do something that is one degree better, to set that thing aside, to set the thing that we want to say aside, the thing that is moving our heart in a deeper way, to say, that's good enough, let us rest in what somebody else has to say, to have that real humility. And that can be in the great works that we do, the great projects that we have, but even more practically for you and I, in the conversations that we have, where somebody else shares something, and the next thing we want to do is top them with a story or something that occurs to us, rather than that, than to rest in that, and to put the thing that we want to put forward aside out of a work in humility. If you begin to do something like that, you'll begin to see that you yourself are happier, that you yourself are more fulfilled, and indeed, you become a greater light in the presence of others because you're interested in what they have to say, rather than in what you yourself have to put forward. St. Bonaventure was able to cast aside his great work, as it were nothing to him, because he had already attained that great and high degree of humility. So ask the saint today for the grace to continue to work hard on what God has given us, to the end, not to rest on our laurels, and also to seek that very same humility which is emblematic and of the seraphic order, the order of St. Francis, and of our great saint this day. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.